The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." Beloved in Christ, the Gospel of the Lord. Today, we celebrate one of the truly great moments in the life of the church, the Feast of the Pentecost, the birthday of the church. 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus, 10 days after his ascension into heaven, the Holy Spirit comes down upon the disciples and generates in them an uncommon courage that took them to the streets to testify that Jesus of Nazareth, who was betrayed by the Jews, crucified by the Romans, has been raised by God. He is risen. He is the Lord. He is the Messiah of the Jews and the Messiah of the whole world. Now, since Pentecost is the great feast of the coming of the apostles, of the coming of the Holy Spirit on the apostles, when did we, the subsequent followers of Christ, receive the Holy Spirit? If the apostles received the Holy Spirit on the Pentecost, when did we receive our own Holy Spirit? Does anyone here know? When did we receive the Holy Spirit? At baptism. At baptism. Not confirmation. What happens at the confirmation is the strengthening of the gifts already received. Confirmation is derived from the Latin word confirmare, which means to strengthen. At baptism, you receive the Holy Spirit. During confirmation, the gifts that you receive are strengthened. So, we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to strengthen us so that we can do exploits for the Lord in three basic ways. Number one, the Holy Spirit comes to strengthen our relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit strengthens our capacity to defend the faith. That's the second one. The third one, the Holy Spirit strengthens our capacity to spread the faith. I will repeat that again. We need the Holy Spirit as disciples. We need the Holy Spirit to strengthen our relationship with Jesus. Two, we need the Holy Spirit to strengthen our capacity to defend the faith. The third, we need the Holy Spirit to strengthen our capacity to spread the faith. Look at what happened to the disciples today. All along, they've been in the upper room, fearful, afraid to step out. But the moment they received the Holy Spirit, they were strengthened to go out there to defend the faith and to spread the faith. If the events of the Pentecost never happened, you and I would not be here. Maybe we could have become Muslims or Hindus or traditional religionists, whatever religion that are out there. You know, in our ordinary life, there are individuals, living or dead, that we consider heroes and sheroes. A few years ago, when I had to read the U.S. civics to prepare for my citizenship test, my respect, my admiration for the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, rose to the highest heavens. Abraham Lincoln was indeed a great man and a great president. If Abraham Lincoln had been a Catholic, I believe he would have been canonized a saint. In politics, I consider him my hero. In social justice, I consider Dr. Martin Luther King as my hero too. In my youthful days in Nigeria, I used to play a lot of reggae music. But there were three reggae musicians that really inspired me by their message, by the lyrics of their song. One was a South African, the other one was a Jamaican, and the third one was a Nigerian. The South African is Lucky Dube, the Jamaican is Bob Marley, and the Nigerian reggae musician is Majek Fashek. All of them now have passed away. Majek Fashek died last year. Their songs, although sometimes, you know, there are some other things they say, but a lot of their songs, the lyrics of their song, instilled in me this keen interest to begin to care about how other people are treated, to pay attention to how people are treated by the political class and the powerful people. Now, as much as I admire Abraham Lincoln and Dr. Martin Luther King, as great as they were, I will not say that I have a relationship with them. As much as I admire those three reggae musicians in Africa, two from Africa and one in Jamaica, as much as their songs inspire me, I will not say that I have a relationship with them. And I will not consider them my friends. They never knew me, and I didn't know them personally. But when it comes to Jesus of Nazareth, it is not the same. Jesus of Nazareth is not a distant historical figure that I admire. He is not like Abraham Lincoln that I admire as a hero. Jesus is not just a great philosopher or a teacher. Jesus is a truly living presence. And as one song says, I do have a friend in Jesus. And that friendship is the most important friendship of my life. Your friendship with Jesus is the most important friendship of your life. And so the first goal of the Holy Spirit is to strengthen that friendship, to deepen that friendship. Because Jesus is constantly reaching out to us. And sometimes we have distractions, distracted by job, distracted by affairs of this world, distracted by politics, distracted by who is up and who is down, who is in control and who is in charge. We are distracted by all of this. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to bring us back and to continue to deepen that relationship with Jesus. The second strengthening of the Holy Spirit is to increase our capacity to defend the faith. The Holy Spirit strengthens our capacity to defend the faith, the Christian faith. In the 20th century, more people died for the Christian faith than all the other previous centuries combined. Think about that. In the last century, more people died, were killed because of their faith in Christ than all the previous centuries put together. And in this 21st century, things are not looking good for Christians as well. Look around you, especially in Africa. I don't know how many of you here, I'm from Nigeria originally. I don't know how many of you, pay attention to what is going on in the country of my birth. Even as I preach right now, people are being killed in Nigeria because of their faith. There is a new Islamization that is going on in Africa, in Asia, and in Middle East. People are constantly, their heads are constantly chopped off because of their faith in Christ Jesus. And in Nigeria, a lot of these people are young people, high school graduates, high school kids, university undergraduates. These men, these soulless Islamic terrorists, constantly abduct people on the high road, in the street, even in their homes, and slaughter them. A year ago, a young man studying to become a priest was abducted. He was asked to renounce his Christianity and spare his life. But he refused. And they cut off his head and dumped his body somewhere. Like I said before, I pray that none of us here we have our lines treated this way. But brothers and sisters, in the world of the social media, in the world of the internet, in the world of new atheism, in the world of radical secularism that is spreading in the West, the Catholic faith is under serious attack. And sometimes this attack comes from lost Catholics and sometimes practicing Catholics. Read what they write about the church on social media. And so when your faith is attacked, when people ridicule your faith, what do you do? Hands up, chicken out, keep silent, fold your hands, put your tail like a dog who has eaten the master's fish and walk away. Is that what you do? Do you realize that as a baptized and confirmed Catholic, you are a soldier of Christ? Yes. And as a soldier of Christ, you must possess a soldier's courage to stand up and defend your faith. Do not let crazy people, mad people, people who have no idea of the faith, make ridicule of your own faith. Do not allow Catholic. In fact, it's a tragedy that someone says, I used to be Catholic. If someone was born Catholic, raised Catholic, practiced Catholic, and all of a sudden walked away, something went wrong somewhere. Something went wrong somewhere. And so the goal, the second role of the Holy Spirit is to increase and intensify our capacity to defend our faith. The last thing the Holy Spirit does is to defend, to increase and strengthen our capacity to spread the faith. Christianity, the Christian faith, is never a private possession. It's not like your money. It's never meant to be kept privately. The Christian faith is always meant to be spread and preached. By the virtue of your baptism and confirmation, each of us here is a missionary. I am not the only missionary. If you've been baptized and confirmed, you are a missionary. You are. Since you've been coming to church, how many people have you shared your faith with? How many people have you talked about your faith with? How many people have you told about your friendship with Jesus? Now, some people might say, well, you know, I'm not so educated in theology. I don't really know how to talk about some of all these issues. Now, let me tell you this. Begin with the beautiful and the good. Begin by talking to people about what God has done for you. You went to the hospital and serious health issue. You made it back. You came back alive. You regained your health. Do you, as you are sharing your story with people, do you link and connect God to what happened to you? Do you say, I thank God. There is no way I could have made it if God was not involved. You have children and they went to school, accomplished something in life. They didn't become dropouts and homeless and hooked onto drugs. Your kids became what you intended them to become. Do you, as you share your story with your friends in your working place, do you link that to God? So you begin with the good and the beautiful, the wonderful things that have happened in your life. Sometimes, I mean, we live our lives and we think that God is a Deus absconditus. A God who has absconded somewhere in a distant land, and he has nothing to do with me. I only talk to him when I need him. We treat God like a Coke machine. A Coke machine sits by the side. You only remember there is a Coke machine there when you are thirsty. Is that how we treat God? Do we see God's involvement in every aspect of our lives? All the ugly that happened to you, the difficult experiences, the several times you fell and the several times you rose. Do you see God in all of this? As you are talking to people, because this is how you can spread the faith. Bring God into it, because God is not a distant figure. He is not just an idea. God is a living presence who is constantly involved in our lives. And so when you talk to people, even though you don't know how to talk about the sacraments, you don't know how to talk about some of the things I'm talking about here, you can share the simplest things that have happened to you and credit it to God. That's how you can spread the faith. That's how we can talk about the faith. And that's what the Holy Spirit is meant to do, to intensify, to strengthen our capacity to spread
the faith.
If the early church had made Christianity a private project, Christianity wouldn't have entered Europe. Christianity would not have entered Africa. Christianity would not have entered North America. It would have stayed in the Holy Land and probably exists in the Holy Land. It would have been a fringe religion. But today, there is no continent, no nation that you will not find Christians. Why? Because there are people who allow the Holy Spirit to use them to spread the faith. You know, people make mockery of Jehovah's Witnesses, but give them some credit. At least they are going house to house, knocking on people's door, sharing their faith, what they believe. The Catholic Church used to do that before, but these days, you know, we have all fallen into, my private religion. Share about your struggles with people and how you went through struggles and survived, and directly link it to the one that you serve, and tell that your friend that only God made this possible. Without God, I wouldn't have made it. By sharing that, you are sharing your faith in God. Now, after the Holy Spirit has strengthened our relationship with Jesus, strengthen our capacity to defend the faith, strengthen our capacity to spread the faith, He also gives us what the church called the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are they? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, fear of the Lord, and piety. Seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And all of these gifts are meant to keep us on the track. If you have never felt the Holy Spirit in you, it does not mean that it's not there. It is there. When I was in California, there was something I did for my parishioners. I wish I had done that today, to talk about the Holy Spirit. I got a bowl like this one here. I got a bowl like this, and I filled it with water, and I have gone around because it's very hard to find sugar cubes in America. They are, sugar here are all usually crushed. But I found some cubes of sugar, and I filled a jar like this with water, transparent, like this. And I dropped some cubes of sugar into the water. And I said to my parishioners, if you drink this water, you are not going to taste the sweetness of the sugar. But does it mean that the sugar is not here? No. The sugar is in there. For you now to taste the sweetness of the sugar, you have to stir the pot. When you take a long spoon, you stir it. You drink it, then you now say, wow, it's so sweet. At baptism, same way you have cubes of sugar deposited in a bowl like this, each of us receives the Holy Spirit. What do we do now to keep the Holy Spirit alive? St. Paul warned when he was writing to Galatians, he warned them, do not bewitch the Holy Spirit. We can't bewitch the Holy Spirit by the actions of our lives, by the things that we do. And so for you now to steer the Holy Spirit to be active in your life, as you're looking at me, I used to be very shy. When I was in the seminary, my elder sister used to say to me, if you are this shy, how are you going to stand before people and preach? One of the reasons why when I was growing up, I never had a girlfriend, it's because I couldn't stand and speak to a girl. I was so shy. It was almost like part of my skin. I was so shy. The only girl I managed to stop one day and talk to, as soon as she turned, I felt like disappearing. I couldn't say a word. As I was shivering, I put my hands into my pocket, grabbed my rosary, and handed my rosary to her. And she took the rosary and walked away. But she knew my sister. She knew my younger sister, and she went and told my sister that your brother wanted to talk to me today, but he never had the courage to do so. But I realized that I have to, at some point, I have to start preaching. I have to start ministering to people. And all of a sudden, something happened in me that right now, the more people I have in church, the better for me. I used to say to Father Maurice that I prefer to preach in a church packed with people than just to preach to few people. And so, brothers and sisters, each of us has the Holy Spirit in us. If it is not being manifested, if those gifts are not being manifested, it means that we are yet to steer the pot. How do we steer the pot? Through prayer, through sacraments, works of mercy, and most importantly, fleeing from sin. Nothing keeps the Holy Spirit at the bottom of your life than sin. Especially sins of immorality. It takes the Holy Spirit that is active in your life and just put the Holy Spirit at the bottom of your life. If we steer the Holy Spirit through prayer, through works of charity, through the sacrament, especially the sacrament of the Eucharist, by being who we are called to be, the Holy Spirit will now cooperate with us. We use us because we are making ourselves available for Him. These gifts are not magical realities. They are there, but we need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And so, brothers and sisters, if you have not felt the Holy Spirit in you, if you have not felt that fortitude is courage in the face of adversity. If you have not experienced any of it, if you are yet to experience the transformation that I had as a young man growing up, that I couldn't even stand to speak to one person, you need to start talking to the Spirit because it's in you. It's right there, inside you, given to you on the day of your baptism. Keep speaking to Him, and the Holy Spirit will lead you on the path that leads to Jesus. The goal of the Holy Spirit finally is to bring each and every one of us to heaven. Heaven. That is our destination. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of the faithful. Amen.